من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in this lecture number 9, in which we intend to take the 8th, the naqid of the nawaqid of Islam, as they have been mentioned by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, in his brief essay, which is entitled The Things Which Nullify a Person's Islam, the Nawaqid of Islam. We have discussed previously the seriousness and the sensitivity of this subject, the Nawaqid of Islam, and in the introduction, in the first lecture, before we began with the first nullifier or the first naqid, we talked about a number of issues, from amongst them the issue of a takfir, or declaring the kufr, disbelief of a particular person, saying that a Muslim has done something or said something and as a result of that gone out of Islam. Indeed, it is a sensitive issue and an important issue that needs to be understood. And due to the sensitivity of the subject, this naqid that we want to discuss this evening, I thought that at least we would mention in passing, in just a few words, what the scholars of the people of Sunnah have said concerning takfir, or declaring a Muslim to be a kafir. And the essence of the issue, which we have discussed in detail previously, it is that they have determined that it is not a necessity that the person who does an act or who says a word, and that act or word has been declared as an act of kufr, or a word of kufr, not of necessity, that the same ruling has to be applied to the person. Yani it doesn't mean that because somebody has done something which the scholars have ruled as being an act of kufr, that that person is necessarily a kafir. Yani these two things are not necessary to go together. It is possible that that person might be declared a kafir, and it is possible that he might not be. And we said, as the scholars said, that there are shurut and mawaniya. The shurut are those things that have to be fulfilled. They have to be present first in order for that person to be declared as having gone out of Islam. And the mawaniya are those things that have to be absent, the things, the prohibitive factors, that if any of them are present, it prohibits the ruling of kufr on that person, such as he was forced to do it, or he was ignorant, or he misunderstood, and so on. So keeping this in mind, we should be careful that we don't hasten to declare the kufr of anyone due to the fact that we find such a person saying something or doing something that has been ruled as kufr. Some of the scholars said that before takfir can be made on someone, before a Muslim could be declared as a kafir, if it was done by the people of knowledge, the scholars, if they did so, first, the first consideration is that the act, it should be made clear that that thing is an act of kufr according to Quran and Sunnah. And the second thing, it should be proven that the person has in fact committed that act. And the third thing is that the evidences should be presented to that person to give them a chance to understand and know that what they have engaged in is kufr, so that they may retract, so that they may repent, so that they may turn back from that thing. And if all of that is done, then the final point is that they should be sure that there are no prohibitive factors that prohibit the person from being declared as a kafir. The topic of our discussion this evening, the naqid that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned as al-thamin, the eighth naqid of the nawaqid of Islam, he said it is مُظَاهَرَةُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَمُعَاوَنَتُهُمْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ. يعني مُظَاهَرَةُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, it means backing or supporting or aiding, assisting or helping the pagan disbelievers, helping them, supporting them, aiding them. وَمُعَاوَنَتُهُمْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and assisting them against the Muslims. Supporting, assisting, and aiding the disbelievers against the Muslims. Whoever does so has fallen into kufr. They have engaged in an act of kufr. And as I said now in the introduction just now, it means that even though that act is an act of kufr, it doesn't necessarily mean that every person who does so should be declared as a kafir. والدليل قوله تعالى وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whoever takes them as those who they support, whoever takes them as those who they support and they help and they aid, or seek help and aid and support from them, then that one is one of them. Whoever from amongst the Muslims supports the disbelievers, then he is one of them. Indeed, Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people, al-qawm al-zalimeen. And this ayah, it was specifically revealed in reference to the Christians and Jews, as is indicated in the beginning of the ayat. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he has mentioned the portion of the ayat that says his position concerning this matter. However, the beginning of the ayat is addressed to the believers. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. The meaning, all you who believe, yani the people of Iman, do not take, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا, it is a prohibition, it is prohibited, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ, don't take the Jews and the Christians as awliya, as friends or helpers or protectors or supporters. Allah says that they are supporters and helpers of one another. بَعْدُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ, that some of the Christians are supporters of other Christians, and some of the Jews are supporters of the other Jews. And some of the scholars said that some of the Christians support the Jews, and some of the Jews support the Christians. بَعْدُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ, that some of them, either from within their group, or amongst them, the generality of the disbelievers, Christians and Jews, and even the pagans, though it is specifically here mentioned about the Ahl Kitab, that some of them are supporters, and helpers, and protectors of one another. So whoever takes them as helpers, or supporters, or protectors from amongst you, from amongst the Muslims, then that one, he is one of them. Yani one of the disbelievers, he becomes one of them. For indeed, Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people, the ظالمون. Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of this ayah, he said that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has prohibited his believing slaves from taking the Jews and the Christians in a relationship of supporting one another, or aiding one another, or helping one another. The Christians and the Jews, he said, those who are the enemies of Islam and the people of Islam, taking them as supporters, while they are أعداء الإسلام وأهله, they are the enemies of Islam and the enemies of its people, the Muslims. قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ, that is the dua that Al-Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, that may Allah kill them or curse them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed that some of them, they are helpers and supporters of others of them. They help and support one another. Then He warned and He threatened those who engage in such, taking the Christians and Jews And in other ayats it is clear that it also includes the other disbelievers, that he threatens and warns those who engage in such. And he said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, that whoever from amongst you takes them as supporters, then he is one of them. Here Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentioned a narration that is reported by Ibn Abi Hatim, the great scholar of Hadith rahimahullah. He said that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, he ordered Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu to send to him a report of what he has taken and what he has given. To send, yani, a report of all that he has collected and all that he has distributed. And in the hadith it said that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, he had a writer, a scribe, Katib Nasrani, who was a Christian. And Umar radiyallahu anhu didn't know that the writer, the scribe of Abu Musa was a Christian. So he had him to write for him that report, and he sent it. And Umar radiyallahu anhu was amazed with the accuracy or the proficiency of that report and how it had been written by that katib or that scribe. So he said, Umar radiyallahu anhu said, إِنَّ هَذَا لَحَفِيظ, that indeed this one who has written this, he is proficient, he is excellent, he is good. He said, is it possible that he can read for us, that is in the masjid, that has come from Sham? Can he read this letter for us? Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said to him, إِنَّهُ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ, that he is not able. So Umar said, أَجُنُبٌ هُوَ, is he in a state of janaba? Why is it that he can't come in the masjid and read the letter for us? He said, لا, he is not junub, بَلْ نَصْرَانِي, but indeed he is a Christian. He is not junub, he is a Christian, and he is a kafir, who cannot enter the masjid. Then Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said that Umar admonished him, and he struck him on his thighs, and he said to him, أَخْرُجُوهُ, get him out of here. Then he read the saying of Allah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ, O you who believe, do not take the Jews and the Christians as awliya. And here, the mention of this ayat by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is the proof that taking the Jews and Christians for supporters and helpers is not only as supporters in military action, but using them in any way, relying upon them, trusting in them, having confidence in them in the matters that are exclusive to the Muslims, that this is prohibited. Even though in this hadith it is clear that the act of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu did not fall into the category of taking or using the Christians and Jews as awliya, it didn't fall into the category of that which is classified as kufr. And this is one of the proofs that taking the disbelievers as awliya, using them for some work or taking assistance from them or relying upon them, is not in every case kufr. Is not in every case kufr. And some of the scholars have clarified that it depends on whether or not the people who have taken, the Muslims who have taken the kafirs for supporters or helpers or awliya, if they take them as their supporters, being pleased with them and their religion and their way of life and what, or taking them as a help or an aid in a worldly matter, yani for some worldly benefit, not related to deen. In any case, it is prohibited in every case. And it is not kufr if it is, yani, the case in which somebody has just used them for some worldly benefit. It is haram and it is a major sin. It is prohibited by Allah. However, it is not kufr. Taking the pagan disbelievers as awliya, yani, relying upon them and trusting in them and having confidence in them and being pleased with that which they are upon, could only happen in the case where someone's heart is open towards and relaxed with and glad and happy with those pagan disbelievers or the one who has love for the enemies of Allah and the enemies of the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَا وَقَلْبُهُ مُتْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا فعليهم غضب من الله ولهم عذاب عظيم ذلك بأنهم استحبوا الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة وأن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين. That whoever disbelieves in Allah after having iman, after having believed in Allah, whoever does so, then their end, it is a terrible end. Except illa man ukriha, except the one who is compelled, who is forced against his will, while his heart is content with iman. But he has been forced to do something or to say something that is kufr, while his heart is not in agreement with what he has said or done. ولكن من شرح, يعني they are accepted from this. ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا, but the one whose heart is opened towards kufr, who is inclined towards kufr and who is pleased with it, then the anger of Allah is upon them, and for them is a terrible punishment, and that is because preferred. ذلك بأنهم استحبوا الدنيا على الآخرة, because they have preferred the life of this world and the things of this world and the benefits of this world over the next life. Indeed, Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. The reason for this is because the one who does such an act nullifies their tawheed. They negate their iman, even if that person did not commit an actual act of shirk. And it is not only shirk that nullifies a tawheed and nullifies iman, but being pleased with and being confident in and taking support from and relying upon the disbelievers, it doesn't go along with iman, faith in Allah and trust in Allah and believing in Allah. Allah has warned and cautioned the Prophet ﷺ against three things. Al-Muwalat, taking the disbelievers and pagans in friendship. Ar-Rukun ilayhim, being inclined towards and having confidence and trust in and reliance upon them. And al-Nusra wal-Iyana, offering them support, backing, assistance and aid. And these three matters, taking them as friends or relying upon them and having confidence in them or supporting or backing and aiding them, all of these things are prohibited based on the principle in Islam, which is an asl of the usul of the deen of Allah. It is al-wala wal-bara. That of the fundamentals of Islam, that Islam is based upon, it is one of the most important fundamentals after at-tawheed. It is that the Muslim's relationship with the non-Muslims and the Muslim's relationships with other Muslims is based on the principle of al-wala wal-bara. That the Muslim, his relationship with the believers is al-wala, that he has friendship with and allegiance to and supports and aids and assists the iman because of the Islam. And he has enmity for and disassociation from, and he doesn't support or aid or assist the disbelievers because of their kufr and because of their shirk. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, which is reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, and the Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah said in Silsila al-Hadith al-Sahiha that the hadith is sahih. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. That whoever loves for the sake of Allah. Yani they love whoever they love and whatever they love for Allah, because it is what Allah loves. And whoever hates for the sake of Allah, they hate whatever they hate because Allah hates it. And they hate whoever they hate because Allah hates it. And they give for the sake of Allah. Whatever they give it for the sake of Allah in the way that Allah is pleased. And they hold back for the sake of Allah. When they don't give because Allah is not pleased with that. Then whoever does so, they have completed and perfected al-Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 86, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَرْجُو أَن تُلْقَى إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ ظَهِيرًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah said to him that you were not expecting that the book, yani the Quran, would be sent down to you or revealed to you, but it is a mercy from your Lord. It is Allah's favor and His mercy upon you. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ ظَهِيرًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Therefore, never be a supporter, never be of those who support or aid or help the disbelievers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hud, chapter 11, verse 113, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارُ وَمَا لَكُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ. That don't incline towards, don't be inclined towards الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, those who engage in ظُلْم. And the scholars of the people of Sunnah said that ظُلْم, in the general sense, it means shirk. It means shirk or kufr, unless it is specified to mean otherwise. Don't be inclined towards the mushrikeen, the disbelievers, lest the fire should touch you and you will not have anyone other than Allah to help you, and then you will not be helped at all. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his tafsir concerning this verse, he said, if you incline towards them and agreed with them in their wrongdoing, or were pleased with that which they are upon, their unjust actions, then you would be touched, you would be punished by the fire. He went on to say that this verse contains a warning of punishment with fire from ar-rukum, from those who are inclined towards, or those who have confidence in, the zalimun. And the intended meaning of ar-rukum, it is to incline towards, or to join forces with, or to become affiliated with him, yani with the zalim, with the mushrik in his wrongdoings. To join him in it, and to affiliate oneself with him in it, or to be inclined towards it, or to be pleased with it, to conform with it, or to sanction him and what he is doing. To be pleased with the injustice and wrongdoing which he is committing. This is the meaning of ar-rukun. So if this is the warning or the threat for simply being inclined towards the wrongdoers, this is the threat of Allah for those who are just inclined towards or pleased with those who engage in this wrongdoing. So what would be the condition of those who actually themselves directly engage in it? It is required of the Muslims to support the Muslims, to support their brothers and clan, and not to betray them to the pagan disbelievers. It is expected that a Muslim would reject any request to assist or to aid or to support the pagan disbelievers. On the contrary, he would only support and aid and protect and help and cooperate with the believers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith reported by Imam Muslim rahimahullah on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, al-muslimu akhul muslim, that the Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. Yani the relationship between two Muslims, it is based on Islam. Al-muslimu akhul muslim. And what does this relationship of brotherhood require? It requires that he, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la yadhlimuhu, that he doesn't oppress him or do wrong to him, to his brother Muslim. وَلَا يُسْلِمُهُ, and he doesn't surrender him to ruin or to destruction or to the enemies who would harm him. مَنْ كَانَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ فِي حَالِهِ, that whoever serves the need or fulfills the need of his brother, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill his needs. وَمَنْ فَرَّجَ عَنْ مُسْلِمٍ كُرْبَةً فَرَّجَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بِهَا كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرُبْ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, that whoever relieves his Muslim brother from any hardship or difficulty that he experiences in this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of that, would relieve him from the difficulty or hardship that he would experience on the day of resurrection. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that whoever covers the Muslim, whoever covers the fault of the Muslim, and it doesn't mean that a person commits a crime, that they take somebody else's property or they do harm to another and then recover it. It means those things that are between them and Allah, not the rights of the human beings. That a person lies or a person doesn't perform the obligatory duties or they engage in something that is haram, that is between them and Allah. Then the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever covers the fault of his brother, in those cases where it is permissible to cover it, then Allah will cover his faults on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And it is also reported from Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه in the hadith of Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in a long hadith, he said, كونوا عباد الله إخوانا, that you should be, O servants of Allah, brothers to one another. The Muslims should be brothers to one another. We should deal with one another as though we are actually brothers to one another. المسلم أخو المسلم. The Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يحقره. التقوى ها هنا ويشير إلى صدره ثلاث مرات. The Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. He doesn't oppress him or do wrong to him. And he doesn't abandon him or leave him without help or aid or assistance. And he doesn't hold him in contempt. He doesn't look down upon him. And the Prophet ﷺ said that التَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا, that taqwa, consciousness, the consciousness of Allah, it is here. And he was pointing to his chest. And he said it three times. Then he said, بِحَسَبِ امْرِئٍ مِنَ الشَّرْ أَنْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. Yani it is sufficient for a person. It is sufficient. The evil of this act is sufficient for any person. He doesn't need to do more than this. That is sufficient evil for anyone, that he holds his brother Muslim in contempt. That is more evil than anyone needs, that he holds his brother Muslim in contempt. كُلُّ مُسْلِمْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمْ حَرَامٌ دَمُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعِرْضُهُ. Every Muslim is inviolable, is sacred to another Muslim. It means his blood, his life, as well as his wealth or his property and his honor. He doesn't cause harm to him. He doesn't take from his property and he doesn't speak ill against his brother Muslim. The honor of a Muslim, it is sacred, it is haram. These hadith show the importance of the Muslim attending to the rights of his brother in Islam. And it is the opposite of our topic this evening, which is that the Muslim should not assist and aid and support or rely upon or seek help from the disbelievers, the enemies of Islam. Concerning the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-muslimu akhul muslim la yadhlimuhu wa la yaslimuhu, yani that the Muslim is the brother of a Muslim, he doesn't wrong him and he doesn't surrender him, yani to those who would harm him or lead him to destruction or that which would be harmful to him. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani, he said the meaning of la yaslimuhu, it means he does not leave him with someone who might cause harm to him, nor in a situation which might be detrimental to him. And in another place, he said, rahimahullah, that the person who surrenders someone, aslama fulana, it means that he threw him to destruction and he did not protect him from his enemy. Yani the Muslim, he doesn't do this to his Muslim brother. As for the saying of Allah, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَحْدِ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ, that whoever from amongst you takes them, the disbelievers, the Christians and the Jews, for helpers or supporters or protectors, then surely indeed he is one of them. Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says concerning this ayat, yani the one who supports or who seeks support from the enemies of Allah against the Muslims, whoever supports them against the Muslims, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has prohibited this. And he has informed us that the one who engages in such, then their end is a terrible end. That is, that they become from amongst the disbelievers. Al-Qadi Iyad, he said that whoever has no fear, concern for the ruling of Allah, concerning the security of the life and property of Muslims, and refraining from harming them, such a one has not completed or perfected his Islam. And the one who is not concerned about the life and property of the Muslims, then that person has not completed his Islam. And whoever does not have an internal inclination for attending to the rights of the truth and sticking to what is just between himself and others, perhaps he would likewise not be concerned about that which is between him and his Lord, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over him, resulting in the defectiveness of his iman. Yani his Islam, as well as his iman is in question. Al-Imam Abd al-Ra'uf al-Manawi, in his explanation of Jami al-Saghir al-Suyuti, rahimahumullah, he said that إذا causing harm to the Muslim is a manifestation of a defect in one's Islam. Whoever causes harm to the Muslim or assists those who harm the Muslims, this is a clear indication and a manifestation of the defectiveness of this of their Islam. And this إذا or causing harm is of two types. He said the first type is open and manifest by use of the limbs, taking, like taking someone's wealth by stealing or armed robbery. And the other is inner and unseen, like envy or hatred, resentment, pride and arrogance, distrust, harshness, severity and cruelty with the believers. All of these things cause harm to the Muslim and hurt him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to refrain from both types of harm. Yet so many people have been destroyed by this. As for what we find today amongst the Muslims, whether the leaders or the common people, except those whom Allah's mercy is upon, disbelievers against the Muslims, and bringing the disbelievers into the Muslim lands, and making it lawful for them, and giving them control over the Muslim populations, this is indeed of the most dangerous of affairs. Some of the Muslim scholars, in the tafsir of the ayats related to this topic, have mentioned different statements, but all of them being basically and you have one meaning, and that is the seriousness and the danger of putting our trust in and having confidence in and seeking support from and relying upon the enemies of Islam, the pagan disbelievers who have rejected the deen of Allah and who have rejected the offer of Allah for those who believe in Him and who obey Him of paradise. The great scholar Ibn Atiyah in his tafsir of the ayat from Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 23, which is similar to the ayat under discussion, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Whoever from amongst you takes them as supporters or helpers, then they are of the ظَالِمُونَ. That is, whoever supports them and whoever follows them and follows or seeks that which they are seeking, has the same objectives as them, then they are of the ظَالِمُونَ. Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of another similar ayah, in Surah Al-Mumtahina, chapter 60, verse 13, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَوَلَّوْا قَوْمًا غَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. O you who believe, do not seek support or take support from or support the people who Allah's anger is upon. Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says concerning this ayat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He has prohibited taking the disbelievers as supporters or helpers. In the end of this chapter, in this ayat 13, just as He has prohibited it in the beginning of this chapter, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ. That all you who believe, do not take my enemy and your enemy as awliya, as helpers or supporters or protectors, offering them friendship or love. And this ayat is more general than the ayat that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned, because this ayat, it leaves it open for all of the disbelievers, the enemies. لَا تَتَّفِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ. Whoever they may be, whether they are from the Christians and Jews or the other pagan disbelievers or whoever, don't take them as friends while they are the enemy of Allah and the deen of Allah and the enemy of the Muslims. Al-Imam Al-Baydawi in his tafsir of the ayat of Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 51, that whoever takes them for friends and supporters from amongst the Muslims, whoever takes them for friends or supporters or helpers or protectors, then he is one of them. He said that whoever takes them as supporters or protectors, then he is part of their group, he becomes one of their number. And this is a severe warning of the obligation of avoiding them and staying away from them, yani not being a part of them. The Imam of the Mufassirin, Al-Imam Ibn Jarir, Al-Tabari, rahimahullah, in his tafsir concerning this ayat, he said, in this ayat and in other places which are similar, he said that the meaning of taking the disbelievers as awliya, it means taking them as your helpers, yani taking them as your supporters. And he also said that taking them as helpers or supporters or supporting and aiding them, he said it has many divisions or many types and they are not all equal. Some types are that which takes a person out of Islam, like absolute support and ties of protection, disbelievers. This takes a person out of Islam. And he said other types are less than that. So whoever takes them as helpers or supporters, in the absolute sense, then this nullifies and negates one's iman in totality. And otherwise, there are other levels that are less than that. Likewise, he said in the tafsir of Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 28, لا تتخذوا المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء. Note that the believers do not take the disbelievers as awliya instead of or in place of the believers. And whoever does so, then they don't have anything from Allah, meaning they don't have any relationship from Allah. Whoever takes the disbelievers as supporters and helpers, then these people, yani, who prefer the disbelievers over the believers, then they have nothing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is free of them. Also, Al-Imam At-Tabari says in the tafsir of Surah Al-Ma'idah, that which makes clear the reasoning for the ruling of the one who takes the disbelievers as supporters and helpers, what is the reasoning or the illah or the cause for this ruling? What is the basis of it? He says in the tafsir of this ayah that whoever takes them, whoever from amongst the Muslims take them as supporters or helpers, then they are one of them. He said that concerning this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear that whoever does such, he is one of them. That means he is from their deen and from their millah. The ruling concerning him is the ruling concerning them. They are the same. He said, whoever takes them as helpers or supporters in preference to the believers, then he is from their deen. هُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ دِينِهِمْ وَمِلَّتِهِمْ. He is from and from their millah, their way. Because no one who supports or aids or seeks support or aid from someone, no one does so except that he is pleased with him. يعني فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَتَوَلَّى مُتَوَلٍ أَحَدًا إِلَّا وَهُوَ بِهِ وَبِدِينِهِ وَمَا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ رَاضٍ. Except that he is pleased with him, and he is pleased with that one's deen, and he is pleased with whatever he is upon. In that case, if he is pleased with that person, and he is pleased with their deen, then he will be opposed to whatever opposes him, and whatever angers him. وَصَارَ حُكْمُهُ حُكْمَهُ. يعني in that case, the ruling concerning that one is the ruling concerning the one that he takes as a wali. Whoever he supports and aids, or seeks support and aid from, then the ruling concerning him becomes the ruling concerning that one, because nobody will support another except that he is pleased with that one and pleased with that which he is upon. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, in his tafsir of the same ayat, he said that whoever from amongst you, from amongst the believers, takes them as supporters, meaning that he supports and aids them against the Muslims, فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, then he is from them. This means that the ruling concerning him is the same as the ruling concerning them. If they are kuffar, then he is like them. And this prohibits the Muslim from taking or receiving the inheritance from the murtad, yani the one who has apostated from Islam, who has become one of the disbelievers, through supporting them and aiding them and assisting them. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi said that this person is a murtad. He is an apostate, and therefore it is prohibited for the Muslims to inherit from him. He said this was in reference to Ibn Abi Balta, it was revealed in reference to him. However, this ruling, it remains until Yawm Qiyamah, so that it may cut off the relations of friendship or support or distance, yani between the believers and the disbelievers. Likewise, Al-Imam Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, he said that it has been authentically reported. Yani it is true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, that whoever takes them for friends or supporters, that he is one of them, he said, that this is literally as it appears to be. Yani that he is a kafir, that he is one of the disbelievers. And he said, this is the truth about which no two Muslims differ. Yani it is by agreement. There are no two Muslims who differ about it. Everyone is in agreement upon this. Al-Imam Al-Qasimi, in his tafsir of the very same ayat, فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, that he is from them, he said it means that he is one of them. That the ruling concerning him is the same as the ruling concerning them. وَإِنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّهُ مُخَالِفٌ لَهُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Yani the ruling concerning him is the same as the ruling concerning them, even if he claims that he opposes them in deen. Yani even if he claims that he is not with them in their deen. As long as he is supporting them and aiding them, no matter what he claims, he is one of them. The ruling concerning him is the ruling concerning them, kufr. And this is what is indicated by his condition, the condition that he is in. Yani by him being in agreement with them, this is the indication of his kufr. And the sayings of the scholars concerning this are many. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah also mentioned a similar discussion concerning one of the ayats of similar meaning in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verses 80 and 81, which makes it clear, according to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, that the believer cannot support and aid and assist the disbelievers while having iman in his heart. And he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَرَى كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتَوَلْكَفَرُوا, that you see many of them, meaning those who claim Islam, supporting and aiding those who disbelieve. لَبِئْسَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لَهُمْ أَنْفُسُهُمْ أَنْ سَخِطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَفِي الْعَذَابِ هُمْ خَالِدُونَ. Yani evil is that which they have sent forth, their action. Allah is angered with them, and they are in a terrible punishment, and they will remain in it forever. وَلَوْ كَانُوا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالنَّبِيِّ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مَتَّخَذُوهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ وَلَكِنْ كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. وَلَوْ كَانُوا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالنَّبِيِّ, that indeed if they were really believers in Allah and the Prophet and that which has been revealed to him, مَتَّخَذُوهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ, then they would never have taken them as awliya. وَلَكِنْ كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ, but indeed many of them, they are fasiqoon, yani wrongdoers, sinners. Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah said that this ayat is a proof that the saying of Allah that if they were truly believers, then they wouldn't have taken them as awliya, means that if they have taken them as awliya, then they are not believers, then they don't have iman. The sayings of the scholars concerning this in the books of tafsir and the books of hadith are many. However, yani let it suffice what we have mentioned for clarity of the issue. The ayats of the Quran are sufficient, and the explanations of the scholars of tafsir leave no doubt about the reality of the meaning of these ayats and the ruling of those who engage in such. Indeed, the backing and supporting and aiding of the pagan disbelievers against the Muslims, it is a great fitna, a terrible trial that has prevailed throughout the lands. It is a calamity or a catastrophe that has befallen the Muslims everywhere. It calls to the people, it attracts their hearts, and every heart with the love of the disbelievers has responded to its invitation. This is especially so in the present era, in which ignorance is on the increase and knowledge is on the decline, and the causes of fitna, trials and temptation are in abundance in the Muslim lands today. Al-hawa, desires and wishes and whims, have prevailed and taken root in the Muslim peoples. And all of this while the noble scholars of the Sunnah have almost become extinct. Perhaps all of this is the result of the abandonment and lack of interest in seeking the knowledge, the Islamic sciences, the sciences of the Sharia, while attention is primarily given to acquiring the Western education and philosophy. The Muslims today are more engaged in mastering the sciences of psychology and psychiatry and sociology than they are in learning the tafsir of the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or what Allah has legislated in the divine Sharia. That which is good, due to the ignorance of the people, is seen as even in their old age are being called to it. The one who is upon truth today is a stranger among the people, sometimes even amongst his own family. The strangeness of Islam has become something deep-rooted, and Islam has returned once again as a stranger, just as it began. So let there be good news. فَتُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. Let there be good news for the strangers. Or as some of the scholars said, it is the good news of paradise. Tuba, it is a tree in paradise for those who correct and rectify what has been spoiled and corrupted by the people. An important part of this work of correction and rectification in the society, it is to warn the people against those things that destroy the Islam, that negate the Tawheed and their Iman, and which would be the cause of punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. It is indeed of necessity that the Muslims warn against supporting, aiding and helping the pagan disbelievers against the Muslims, since supporting them financially, physically, intellectually or in any other way, or defending them, indeed it is ridda, it is apostasy. It causes a person to go out of Islam. If only the Muslims would unite amongst themselves based on Islam, based on the correct aqidah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if only they would support one another and cooperate with one another in their mutual affairs, in that case the condition and the status of Islam and the Muslims would change from what it presently is. And then the disbelievers, they would be the ones who would be humbled, disgraced. In closing, I want to mention the hadith, which is a clear proof of the issue which is of great importance to us, and that is distinguishing, making a distinction between the one who supports the disbelievers, even against the Muslims, for some worldly benefit, as opposed to the one who supports the disbelievers against the Muslims due to their love of the disbelievers or due to their being pleased with the kufr of the disbelievers. And perhaps it is due to misunderstanding of this issue that some of the people might erroneously, and it is a dangerous error, some of the people might erroneously couple all of those who have fallen into this act of supporting the disbelievers against the believers. Perhaps we might couple them all together, and in that case we would have fallen into a terrible error that would lead to a great fitna. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is reported concerning one of the Sahaba, and he was one of the people of Badr who fought in the Battle of Badr. And we know that the people of Badr, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that perhaps Allah has looked at them and examined them, and he has said to them, do whatever you have done, for I have forgiven you. He was from the people of Badr. And it is reported in Bukhari, this hadith, and it has the comment that I want to mention concerning this. It is related to the fact that, as one of the scholars have said, that this hadith, which I am going to mention, that it is an indication, it is a miracle of the Prophet ﷺ that he knew about something that could not have been known except by revelation. And this hadith, it also deals with the ruling concerning spying and the permissibility of violating the privacy of spies. And he said that this hadith is a proof that the one who has supported the disbelievers, who has aided and supported and assisted the disbelievers against the Muslims, that not in every case the one who has done so that he is a kafir. But in fact, in every case it is a kabira, it is a major sin. However, it is not in every case kufr. It is the hadith of Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a radiallahu anhu, who was one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who fought in the Battle of Badr. And he had sent a letter to the Quraysh at the time when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was secretly planning to attack them in Mecca. He sent a letter to them informing them that the Muslims had intended to make war against them. And an old woman carried that letter. She was taking it to Mecca to the pagan disbelievers. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was informed by revelation. And he sent three of his companions, Ali and Al-Zubayr and Al-Miqdad radiallahu anhum ajma'in. They caught up with that lady at a place called Rawdat al-Khah, about 12 miles from Medina. And they threatened to search her, yani to take her clothing off if she didn't give it up, if she didn't give them the letter. The Prophet ﷺ was informed by revelation that she had a letter. And they believed in what he said, that it was true. And they told her that we know you have it. If you don't give it up, we will take your clothing off. We will search you until we find it. And she knew that it was serious, so she gave them the letter. When they brought the letter back to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Ya Hatib, ma hadha? What is this? Yani, what have you done? You have sent a letter to the pagan disbelievers to inform them that we are going to attack them. And the Prophet ﷺ has carefully planned this attack on Mecca, not even trying not to even let his own people know where they are going or what they are going to do. Yet Hatib, he was going to inform the pagan disbelievers. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Hatib, ma hadha? What is this? He said, Ya Rasulullah, la ta'ajal alayya. Inni kuntu imra'an mulattiqan fi Quraysh. Yaqulu kuntu halifan wa lam akun min anfusihim. And he said to the Prophet, don't be hasty with me. Don't be hasty. He said, let me explain. Indeed, I was a person who was connected to the Quraysh. Yani, through an allegiance or an alliance or a pact. He was an ally to them. He said, I wasn't one of them. I am not from the Quraysh. And unlike the Muhajireen who have migrated with you and left their family or their wealth or their properties behind, he said, they had relatives who could protect their families and protect their wealth. And I only desired that since I didn't have such relations, that I would do something, a favor for the Quraysh, in exchange for them protecting my relatives, my family. Then he said, وَلَمْ أَفْعَلْهُ إِرْتِدَادًا عَنْ دِينِي وَلَا رِضًا بِالْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ الْإِسْلَامِ. And this is the point of the hadith that is important. He said to the Prophet ﷺ, this is the reason why I have done it. وَلَمْ أَفْعَلْهُ إِرْتِدَادًا عَنْ دِينِي. I have not done it. Yani turning away from my deen, going back from Islam. I have not done it as an apostate, leaving my deen. وَلَا رِضًا بِالْكُفْرِ بَعْدِ الْإِسْلَامِ. I have not done it because I am pleased with kufr after Islam. Yani he has not done so, yani because he has abandoned Islam. And he has not done so because he is pleased with kufr or the disbelievers. But he has done it for this reason, for some worldly benefit, to protect his family or whoever he has left behind. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَمَا إِنَّهُ قَدْ صَدَقَكُمْ. He said, indeed he has told the truth. Yani that he has not apostated. He has not done it being pleased with the kafirs or displeased with Islam, but he has done it for some other reason. فَقَالَ عُمَرْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَضْرِبْ عُنَقَ هَذَا الْمُنَافِقِ. Umar, he said, O Messenger of Allah, allow me to cut his neck, to kill this munafiq. Yani Umar, he understood that this was kufr, that he was really a munafiq, that he has gone out of Islam by such an act. But the Prophet ﷺ, he told him no. قَالَ إِنَّهُ قَدْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا. That indeed he has been of those who participated in the Battle of Badr. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اتَّلِعَ عَلَى مَنْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا. He said, how do you know, what do you know? Perhaps Allah has looked at, he has examined those who have participated in Badr. And he has said, اعملوا ما شئتم فقد غفرت لكم. He said, do whatever you desire. Indeed, I have forgiven you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء تلقون إليهم بالمودة. All you who believe, do not take my enemy and your enemy as supporters or helpers, offering to them love or affection or friendship. To the end of the ayat, فَقَدَ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلَ. Whoever does so, he has indeed gone astray. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated the enmity and hatred for the disbelievers, and being clear and frank and explicit in that. And he has prohibited taking allegiance from them or making allegiance to them and friendship with them. And in this hadith, as we mentioned, it shows that the Prophet ﷺ was informed by revelation of that lady carrying the letter, and it also makes us to know what is the ruling concerning spies. And this hadith is a clear proof that the person who has supported the disbelievers against the Muslims, that they are not all one, that it might be kufr, which is the general ruling, and it might not be if that person has not done so, being pleased with the kafirs and the disbelievers, or being displeased with Islam. And this is the end of what we can mention this evening, or perhaps I will just mention one fatwa from amongst many, a contemporary fatwa that mentions the ayat under discussion. That is the fatwa of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him. He said that the scholars of Islam have made consensus upon the fact that whoever supports the disbelievers against the Muslims and aids them in any way, in any shape, or any form, then that person is a kafir like them. And then he mentioned the saying of Allah, O يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء بعضهم أولياء بعض ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. And in this fatwa, it is from a contemporary scholar, which makes us to know that this is the ruling of the scholars of the past, and it is the ruling of the scholars of our present time. It is the ruling about which there is no disagreement amongst the Muslims. However, keeping in mind that the ruling concerning the one who engaged in such would differ according to the intention and the condition of that person or the reasoning why they have done so. And for this reason, it is important that one should not be hasty in declaring the kufr of someone, but we should know that the act that is an act of kufr, the ruling concerning the one who does it would be in consideration of that individual. And this is the right of the people of knowledge, the scholars, and it is not for every individual to be hasty in declaring the kufr of someone who has engaged in such. And Allah knows best. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. The questions at the end of this handout, quickly, the first question, discuss briefly the eighth naqid or nullifier of Islam. The eighth naqid that we have discussed, it is supporting or aiding the pagan disbelievers against the Muslims, that this nullifies a person's Islam. Number two, mentioned the dalil which the author has given for this naqid. It is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 51. The ending of it, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. Yani that whoever aids and supports the pagan disbelievers, then he is one of them. The third question, what is meant by they are but awliya to one another? Yani بَعْضُهُمْ awliya وَبَعْضُ. It means, as according to some of the scholars, that the Christians aid and support one another, and likewise the Jews aid and support one another, and sometimes they also aid and support one another, Christians supporting the Jews and Jews supporting Christians. Number four, mention the ruling for one who takes the disbelievers for awliya. The ruling concerning the one who takes them as supporters or helpers, it is kufr. Yani the ruling concerning this action, it is an act of kufr. However, we can say, as the scholars said, that whoever says such and such is a kafir, and whoever does such and such action is a kafir. However, that is different from saying a particular individual, so and so, I have seen him doing this or heard him saying that, therefore he is a kafir. Yani making takfir on a particular individual is not allowed except with the conditions that the scholars have mentioned. Otherwise, the general statement that whoever worships idols is a kafir, or whoever supports the disbelievers against the Muslims is a kafir. This is the hukm shar'i, the legal ruling for the act, and it is a general ruling.